Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of Coffee Before Pants, the podcast for readers, poets, writers, introverts, and nonconformists, as well as all their friends. I'm Mark. Welcome to the near end of December, a good time of the year to be a hermit, although speaking as a hermit myself, I never need an excuse to stay indoors. Unless otherwise coerced, say Valerie says, let's go to a bookstore, and that's all it takes. The only reason I go outdoors by choice is for fresh air and the naturally available vitamin D. Today I want to talk to you about something that I have touched on in previous podcasts, and that is short books, specifically fiction. These are books that can be easily read in 1 to 2 days. Most of them are around 180 pages. And of course, I have a short list. But first, it's This Week in Literary History. This week, as usual, the source is litandmore.com. That's litandmore.com. December 17, 1807, fireside poet John Greenleaf Whittier was born in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Whittier is best known for his anti-slavery poems and his collection of poems titled Snowbound. December 18, 1870, Hector Hugh Munroe, better known by the pen name of Saki, was born in British-occupied Burma. Saki is one of the leading writers of the short story and wrote with a satirical wit. Saki enlisted in the First World War, although he was officially too old to fight, and frequently fought when he was considered too ill or injured. He died bravely on the battlefield in France and has no known grave. December 19, 1843, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol was self-published after a disagreement with his previous publisher. After a rocky start, including the publication of an illicit version of the book, Dickens found commercial and critical success with the story. To this date, it has never been out of print. December 20, 1812, Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm published their collection of 86 fairy tales in Germany. Their first printing was so successful that they expanded their collection, and the second printing contained 212 fairy tales, including popular stories such as Rapunzel, Hansel and Gretel, and Cinderella. December 21, 1940, American author F. Scott Fitzgerald died from a heart attack in his home in Hollywood. Fitzgerald was a notorious alcoholic and had been having chest pains and dizzy spells for several days. Despite having 2 heart attacks prior, he did not seek medical attention. He was 44 years old when he died. I did not realize he was so young when at his death. December 22, 1849, Russian writer Fyodor Dostoevsky was spared at the last minute from public execution. Dostoevsky and several other men were arrested in April of that year for reading and circulating illicit literature. The men were sentenced to public execution and lined up against the wall. The Tsar commuted their sentence the day before but did not publicize this information. Like, I forgive them, but don't tell anybody. Instead, as the time for their execution was counted down, the drummer did not beat time for the last second. At that time, it was announced that the men's lives were being spared. This was not done as an act of mercy, however, but instead as a demonstration of fear. Dostoevsky and the men were not pardoned for their crimes, but instead served 4 years in labor camps in Siberia. December 23, 1823, a poem titled A Visit from St. Nicholas was published anonymously in the Troy Herald. The poem was later called The Night Before Christmas and became one of the most popular and well-known poems in American history. Furthermore, it established many customs of American gift-giving, as well as setting a standardized image of Santa for future generations. Because the poem was published anonymously, it also sparked an ongoing debate on its authorship, with most naming the author as Clement Clark Moore, a professor living in New York City. However, there are scholars who believe that Henry Livingston Jr., a Bible scholar, was the true author. December 23, 1815, Jane Austen's novel Emma was published in London. The book was met with overwhelmingly positive reviews, despite Austen's worry that readers would not like her headstrong and spoiled heroine. Emma was the last book Austen published before her death, with Persuasion being published posthumously. And now let's talk about the few books you can read, likely read in a day. I want to offer more of a teaser, not a full summary, why run the ending. It's more important to find out what a book is about by actually reading it. I do find it interesting that some of these short books actually have cliff notes, which is kind of disappointing. The first book that I want to talk about is Don DeLillo's The Body Artist, published in 2001. It tells the story of Lauren Hartke, a self-described body artist. You never quite know exactly what that means. One gets the idea that Lauren is a sort of a performance artist. The story opens with Hartke and her husband, Ray Robles, having breakfast and conversation in their house just outside of New York City. After breakfast, Ray leaves to go for a drive. Hours later, he is found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. A bereaved Lauren, against the advice of her friends, remained in the house. One morning, Lauren hears a noise coming from the upstairs of the house. She goes upstairs to investigate and finds a man sitting in one of the bedrooms. His appearance varies every time Lauren sees him. He is apparently ageless and is unclear of his own origins. In their brief conversation, he articulates only in fragments that echo past conversations between Lauren and Ray prior to Ray's suicide. The Body Artist shows that an intense lyrical novel can be 200 pages or less than 200 pages. The story of grief and how everyone processes grief differently. My opinion, I love Don DeLillo. I've only read a couple of his books, but he's just amazing. DeLillo, he's a master wordsmith, and this novel is a perfect introduction to his work. A gateway book, as it were. The next on my list is Heart of Darkness, a novella by Polish-English novelist Joseph Conrad, in which the sailor Marlowe narrates the story of his assignment as a steamer captain for a Belgian company in the African interior. The novel is widely regarded as a critique of European colonial rule in Africa. It also examines the themes of power dynamics and morality. Marlowe is given a text by Kurt, an ivory trader working on a trading station far up the river, who has, quote, gone native, end quote, and is the object of Marlowe's expedition. Central to Conrad's work is the idea that there is little difference between, quote, civilized people and the, quote, savages. Heart of Darkness implicitly comments on imperialism and racism. The novella's setting provides the frame for Marlowe's story of his fascination with the prolific ivory trader Kurt. Conrad draws parallels between London, quote, the greatest town on earth, and Africa as places of darkness. Originally issued as a three-part serial story in Blackwoods magazine to celebrate the 1,000th edition of the magazine, Heart of Darkness has been widely republished and translated in many languages. It was first published as a single volume in 1902. Later, it was published with Conrad's The Secret Sharer. Most editions are around 77 pages and qualifies barely as a novella. This, you may know this, I'm sure most of you do, this was the inspiration for Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now. The next is one of my favorite authors, John Steinbeck, and it is Of Mice and Men. Published in 1937, it narrates the experiences of George Milton and Lenny Small, two displaced migrant ranch workers who moved from place to place in California in search of new job opportunities during the Great Depression in the United States. Steinbeck based the novella on his own experiences working alongside migrant farm workers as a teenager in the 1910s before the arrival of the Okies, which he would describe in his novel, The Grapes of Wrath. The title is taken from Robert Burns' poem, To a Mouse, quote, the best laid schemes of mice and men, or as in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, he said, it's what they want you to believe. While it was a book taught in many schools, it's also been a frequent target of censors for vulgarity and what some consider offensive and racist language. Consequently, it appears on the American Library's list of the most challenged books of the 20th century, and it is only 112 pages, and it's very easy to read. The next book is one that I think everyone should read, especially given the political climate of today. It is an indictment of an inherent class system and was most likely the inspiration to the Beatles song Piggies. Have you guessed what it is? Of course, it's Animal Farm by George Orwell. It's a fable about an uprising of farm animals against their human masters and illustrates how new tyranny replaces old in the wake of revolutions and power corrupts even the noblest of causes. Everyone should read this book. I said that already. I regret to say it did take me a long time to read it, to start reading it. I wish I would have read it earlier in my life. If you can find it, I recommend the edition that is illustrated by Ralph Steadman. Many of you might know who that is, with his work, similar with his work with Hunter S. Thompson. And speaking of which, the next book is, you guessed it, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas by Hunter S. Thompson. I know I said that the books were mostly fiction. This book kind of blurs the lines between fiction and journalism. That's why he developed gonzo journalism. You never really knew what to believe. Hunter S. Thompson was an astounding writer, even at his worst. With 204 pages, it's probably the longest book on my list. If you have not read Hunter S. Thompson, this is your gateway. It's a story of Thompson and his maniacal attorney, Oscar Acosta, drug-fueled road trip from California to Las Vegas to cover a motorcycle race for Sports Illustrated. The first paragraph of the book gives the reader a pretty strong clue of what to expect. It may be longer than the books I've mentioned previously, but it will most likely take you less time to read than, say, Heart of Darkness. The next book, I can't, kind of breezing all through these. The next book was part of my college-age angsty reading books. That included Jean-Paul Sartre's Nausea, Herman Hesse's Steppenwolf, and others. But then this is the book that most people think of as being the existential novel. It's Albert Camus' novella, The Stranger. This existential short novel tells the story of Mirsol, who has been informed that his mother has died. Through his narration, you notice his lack of grief or any other emotion. He travels by bus to Marengo, Algeria, to tend to funeral arrangements. He admits he remembers very little about the funeral. A week after the funeral, Marcel shoots an Arab man on a beach, killing him. Even though he knows the man has died, Marcel empties a revolver into his body, explaining that the sun was in his eyes. The Stranger explores the themes of existentialism and the absurdity of life. Marcel accepts his fate and punishment as a murderer, simply because he believes it doesn't matter. The Stranger is a dense story, although it is only 123 pages in most editions. Seventh and last for this now, I'll have more books, to explore these short books once I actually read them myself. Seventh and last, needing no explanation, is Arthur Conan Doyle's The Hound of the Baskervilles. It is the third of four novel-length stories featuring the world's greatest detective, Sherlock Holmes. This particular novel was published after Conan Doyle tried to end the series with Holmes falling to his death at the Reichenbach Falls in the story The Final Problem. The public outcry was so tremendous, eventually Conan Doyle resumed the stories. The explanation of Holmes' disappearance was an amazing piece of writing. If you want to read the short stories or the Holmes stories in order, you'll have to wait due to its placement in the chronology. I can proudly say I've read all of the Sherlock Holmes stories by Conan Doyle, and I do recommend them. But if you only read one Sherlock Holmes story, The Hound of the Baskerville is highly commendable. I think that about wraps it up for the books. Do you have a favorite short novel that I haven't mentioned? There's a lot of them. Let me know in the comments. Despite the semi-organized pile of books back behind me, I'm always looking for something new to read. And just as a side note, I've tried 5 weeks now to publish or post this podcast on Wednesdays, and I usually end up doing it after midnight on Wednesday. So what I'm going to say is, from here on out, including this one, you will be able to listen to this podcast on Thursday in the morning, and I hope that makes it easier for me to come up with a good podcast. So that is it for the books. I would like to close as usual. In closing, it's time for the poem of the week. This is by Mary Oliver. I've just recently discovered her. I don't really like that term because she's been around for quite some time. It's called I Worried. I worried a lot. Will the garden grow? Will the rivers flow in the right direction? Will the earth turn as it was taught? And if not, how shall I correct it? Was I right? Was I wrong? Will I be forgiven? Can I do better? Will I ever be able to sing? Even the sparrows can do it, and I am, well, hopeless. Is my eyesight fading, or am I just imagining? Am I going to get rheumatism, lockjaw, dementia? Finally, I saw that worrying had come to nothing, and I gave it up and took my old body and went out into the morning and sang. Mary Jane Oliver was an American poet who won the National Book Award and the Pulitzer Prize. Her work is inspired by nature rather than the human world, stemming from her lifelong passion for solitary walks in the wild. She was born on September 10, 1935, in Maple Heights, Ohio, and died January 17, 2019, in Hobie Sound, Florida. Thanks again for listening to the episode. If you like what you heard, please click on the like or follow button below. If you have questions or comments, leave it in the comments section also below. You can also contact me at mark@coffeebeforepants.com. There is a link on the website. Have a great day. Happy holidays. We'll see you next Thursday, and I hope you find a book you love. Take care. You have been listening to Coffee Before Pants. Have a great day.